Beis Elul, Monday, 20th of August, Rabbi Dr. Yosef Gerber, no bigger than a man's hand.
Looking for a clock. I don't want to stop. I can see the clock there. The recent tikkufa in Israel, not just there, it's Israel around the world. I said the recent tikkufa around the world is, from my own limited experience and many others, has been pretty unique in terms of the number of Gedolei Yisrael. Top Gedolim have been nifta in the last year. I know many of them were Zikne Adar, but nevertheless, and I suppose one could say, in a sense, it culminated with the Ptira of Rabbi Yashuv. I was at the Levaya of Rabbi Yashuv. It was a very, very strange experience. It was at night in Yerushalayim. There must have been 750,000 people there, Zoizotman. It was just impossible to be masik. The whole of Yerushalayim. People came from Kiryat Sefer and got stopped in Ramot. They couldn't go any further. The whole city stopped. This is somebody who had no official position, just existing in his base of air. But Moshe Shapira, one of the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, said that the biggest clap the Rabbeinu Shlom could give Klal Yisrael was to take away Rabbi Yashuv. And yet, think about it, Rabbi Yashuv was 102. What are you expecting? You expect him to go on forever? I mean, human beings don't live forever. It would be lovely to have the Vilna Gaon and the Rambam still with us, but that's not the Derech HaElam. Elamai. Rav Nochumker, the Rebbe of the Chofetz Chaim, had a similar situation, it must have been 175 years ago, when one of the Zakenim of his Dor was Nifta, and he gave the following Moshul. A Moshul which is Nerv Oyem. He said there was a Yid travelling in a forest. And he knew he had to go to the forest, and he knew there was no illumination, no light in the forest. He took with him candles, and he lit candles so he could see where he's going. And he had this box of candles, one, two, three. Eventually the box of candles ran out, and he was in the dark, and he was very upset. Someone said, what did you expect? Candles don't last forever. It's not renewable fuel, right? So he said, yeah. But I thought the time that the candles would run out, we'd be out the forest. That's what he said. And that's what Rav Nochumker said. We knew that the Gedolim don't live forever, but we thought that during their lifetime we'd be out the forest with Shanzei Mashiach. And we're still in the Golos, still in the Choshech of the Golos, and which is the fighter. This time without Rav Eliashiv and others, I calculated as a rough sort of estimate, Rav Eliashiv probably learnt 500,000 hours Torah Lishma, 500,000, be massive. So, it's a very shver tekufa. And when the Rav Eliashiv does these things, he's tovea something, he wants something from us. They say that if you're present at the Levaya before the Kavua of a Tzaddik, you can be zocher to some of the Madregas of the Tzaddik, at least some of the inyon in which the Tzaddik was most nefesh for, whatever. But certainly this particular Elul is demanding on us. They say in the time of Simchas Yisrael said, in the time, I think Rasul Fazizel could have been Ritzel Petterberg, at the time of the Batir of Yisrael Salanta, he said the tzaddikim of each dur are present on the Beis Din Shomayla for that dur. And therefore, during the year of the Batir of Yisrael Salanta, Yisrael Salanta was on the Beis Din Shomayla. And his dikduk on Benon Lachaveya was exceptional. Therefore, during that dur, everyone's got to be specially careful about Benon Lachaveya. Yisrael is going to be on one of the Beis Din. I can say that for us, of Bittel's Man, Bittel Torah, that it has to be very special now because of the material of Rabbi Yashuv. You see, Rabbi Yashuv at a chuppah was something to see. He went from the sitting with the writing the Ksuba, and he's walking towards the Chufa, and as he's walking, people are asking him shailas, paskining right, left and center, till he gets to the Chufa, mamash on the dot when he said, and if it was too late, he wouldn't go, it's finished. If people had a bris, and Rabbi Yashi was Sunday, if he wasn't on time, it's finished, he's gone. Good. This just a thought, it's not so much a shear as hagosho, which one feels. A cloud no bigger than a man's hand, I called it that. What's the pshat? There are things you know are going to come, but they're very small at this stage, but they're going to arrive. And your Novi and our Carmel was ready to bring the rains. There was a cloud no bigger than a man's hand on the horizon, but that cloud was soon going to encompass the whole heaven. And they saw it coming, but until it actually happens, no, you can sort of sit back, relax. I heard from Rav Chaim Pinchas, Zechatzad Levracha, he said, Ochem Vay, if you have to find out where Moshe Shona is by looking at the Luach.
Look for Tor.
What?
Look for Tor,
is that? If you want to know when it's Rosh Hashanah, you shouldn't have to look at your luach. It should be such an important day. If a person going on trial for his life, he doesn't know when is it going to be, next week or next month. It's not like the second cousin's chasana, right? Where you're not quite sure which day it's going to be, right? For Rosh Hashanah, a day like Yom HaDin HaGadol, you've got to be aware it's you, right? So therefore, we're coming into Elul. And it's now, Rosh Hashanah seems a long way ahead. Four weeks is a lifetime, name. If a week is a long time in politics, 4 weeks in terms of tshuva is forever. But it's going to come, and it comes very, very fast. It's today to think about it. You know, it was Solanto de Mogazocht, he said there are two types of magnification which exist in the scientific world. One is telescopic and the other is microscopic. What's enough, Gamina? A microscope will take a hair and make it so big it looks like a door. A telescope will take a remote star and make it still look like a remote star. This is big, a little bit bigger. What's enough, Gamina? They both magnify, could be 250,000 times of the modern machinery. But the pshat is that the telescope looks at things which are so far away, and no matter how much you magnify them, they're still much smaller than, they still look very tiny, because they're so far away from us. A hair is next to you, so it looks very big. But something which is very, very far away, billions of years, of miles away, then no matter how much you magnify it, it's still only going to look very small. He said, Ruchnius is so far from us, no matter how much you magnify it, we're not going to exaggerate. It's not shy to exaggerate, because whatever you say is not enough. That's one of the reasons why I think we're a little bit relaxed about it. You know, the cloud no bigger, it's a long way away, Mustafa's organ, it's going to be okay. That's one reason. There's another reason, which is a davar omuk ma'ayid, which I want to share with you. It's based on the Masilas Yeshoim. And what's the Cheshbonu Shal Olam? The Cheshbonu Shal Olam Arkein Yomer Amoshim Bo Cheshbon. This is Schar Aveira Keneged Hefseder Hefsed Mitzvah Keneged Schar. This is Cheshbonu Shal Olam. What does that mean? My Rebbe of Noson, Noson Orv Noors used to teach that what's the Schar Aveira. You know what the Schar Aveira is. You want to do an Aveira, you know you can have a certain taiva to do it, to Chas V'Shalom a Maisa, which is wrong, or to eat something which you shouldn't eat. You know what the Schar Aveira is. Keneged Hefseder, that you can't measure, you don't know. Hefsed Mitzvah, you know what the Hefsed Mitzvah is. You give £10 to Tzedakah, your Hefsed Mitzvah has been £10. Schar, the Schar Mitzvah, that you can't be nothing, that you don't know. The Sramitz is not shy. The Gaon's mother and his sister used to go out collecting tzedakah. And the Gaon's mother once asked him, what schar do we get for collecting tzedakah? And the Gaon laughed. He said, you remember one time, there were, you know, in Vilna, I could imagine what it was like, the roads there were mud tracks. and there was a lady at the other side of the road, and you were collecting, and you raised your hand a few inches to stop. I want to come and collect for you. How much did they give already? What do they have? You know, the putters or chatzi putters. And when you raised your hand a few inches just to say, wait, I'm coming to collect tzedakah, the schar for moving your hand those few inches is so great that kol olam hazeh doesn't contain it. The schar you got still, that's all. So, hefsed mitzvah we know, but the schar mitzvah we can't be masik. But it seems like a very simple cheshbon, eh? I would have thought this sort of cheshbon anyone could make. A bit of seichel, I'm talking about people who are not tuned in, but someone who wants to know the truth, that's a simple cheshbon. And yet you can't make this cheshbon unless a certain condition is fulfilled. So Masilas Yeshayim, be medayek lechazal. Al kein yomu hamoshlim bo cheshbon. Only people who are moshel can make that cheshbon. Someone is moshel be yitzur. Someone who is not moshel be yitzur cannot make that simple elementary cheshbon, which I would have thought any chedi ingel could make. Right? If some position is to say that all the Musa you need to know is what every little child knows, that there's such a thing as right and wrong, and if you do wrong, mishmaish, you get hurt. That's all you need to know. But you can't make that cheshbon. Al-kein yomu ha-moshlim bo cheshbon. The only people who can make that cheshbon are people who are moshlim. If you're not moshlim, you can't make that cheshbon. Without being moshlim, you'll be yitzri. And that's why the clouds, which is no bigger than a man's hand, push it away, it's beyond the horizon. So, in fact, we have two reasons why. It's very, very difficult to be masig, very difficult to understand in any way what it really means to have a Yom HaDin. One is because Ruchnius is so far from us, it's telescopic, and it's out of our area, it's not within our experience. And the second is, unless we're Moshe, in our own Yetzer, we can't make that cheshbon. We're not of the Moshlim, and the Moshlim can make the cheshbon. If you're not a Moshlim, you can't make that cheshbon. There's a Moshul of Rabbi Akiva, one of the 300 Mosholim which Rabbi Akiva used to give about foxes. It's given by Rabbi Hai Gaon, and it's actually quoted in Tshuvas HaGaonim by Rabbi Hai Gaon. And of which Rav Hai Gaon says, come how many Musa there is in this little moshul of the foxes. There was a fox walking in the forest when a lion chapped it. A lion grabbed it, a massive lion, and the fox was completely helpless in the grip of this huge lion. And the lion's about to swallow the fox, but the fox is clever. The fox says, excuse me, sir lion, what are you going to get from eating me? I'm a scrawny little fox, a bag of bones, as they say. You won't be so there from me, you just still be hungry. Come, I'll show you a big, fat, juicy man. You'll eat him and you'll have nachas. That would be a sugar. Okay, said the lion, but no tricks. And he wrapped his huge paw around the fox's fur. The fox couldn't get away. And this very unlikely pair went spazieren abissen in the forest. They went for a walk. And as they're walking through the forest, they came to a clearing in the forest with rocks on either side, a narrow gap between them. And the other side of this narrow gap was a man davening. And between them was a deep pit, a hunter's pit. And the way in which they did it was, they used to dig deep pits and put thin canes on it with grass on it, so an animal running fast would fall in. And they come up to this pit, but they weren't walking, they weren't running, they were walking slowly. And the fox says, okay, Sir Lion, there's your man, go and eat him. He says, how can I eat him? There's a big pit there, I can fall in the pit. You're not going to fall in the pit. Why should you fall in the pit? You can jump. The lion says, look, he's davening. Don't you know when a person davens, he's got schusim? Maybe the schus of his davening will save him. Doesn't matter, you know, nothing will happen to you unless you've done something wrong. Whatever, he can daven Heinz Morgan, but you're okay, you have never done anything wrong. How do you know? You think I'm such a tzaddik? Maybe I'm not such a good lion. That still doesn't matter, says the fox. You've got nothing to be afraid of. This is poker, devono, those al bonim, al b'nei bonim. If you've done an affair, you ain't a critical supper. Al b'nei bonim. Okay, good to saw. He jumped and fell in the pit. The fox comes over, looks down. Now he's sort of in a different position. His Sir Lion has got a little bit of cynicism in it now. Yes, Sir Lion, how are you going down there? So what have you got me into this mess for? You told me that that my Eynekoch will suffer. Yeah, it's true, but probably your Zeta did obey us. That's why you're in the pit. The fox says to the lion, says, this is not shtus. Everyone suffers with their own obeyers. True. Said the fox, you know, you've got a point, but why didn't you think of that before? And that's the tshuva of the Gaonim. How many Muslims in that story? This is simple, because this is Muslim. Think what's going on here. This is not stum a lion, it's a lion with an awareness. That lion knows that there's such a thing as schava onish. That lion knows that when a person davens, he's got schusim. Moreover, not only that, he realizes such a thing as Gehenim. No, he doesn't realize, he sees it. How many people can see Gehenim? Chofetz Chaim used to say, as you see a fire, I can see the Eish of Gehenim, but most people can't. The lion could see Gehenim. He knew Schava Onish, and he still jumped. Chavos says, he's a nah, because he was hungry. When a person's hungry, all their cheshbonas go out the window. There are no cheshbonas. All you want to do is get what you want. Therefore, Kain Yomu HaMoshel in Bo Cheshbon. You can't make a Cheshbon unless you're a Moshel. And one answer I would suggest, with very, very humbly, not Cholila that I'm sort of standing on a high horse and telling you what to do, but I think we all have to use this answer. The answer is to be Mesakin El Ben Odin L'Chaveiro, because when you're Mesakin El Ben Odin L'Chaveiro, you get a little bit of a nevus. You get a bit of a nevus, then you don't think of yourself as being such a big knack, and then already there's room for the Ribbono Shel Olam in your life. You know, chavrusa is very important, because chavrusa means giving. This is kenei lecho chaver. You can't have a chaver unless you give to them. Chavrusa, friendship, is giving of yourself. A balgaiva can't have chaverim. He can have acquaintances, but not chaverim. Chaim Shmulevitch said, if you have a chavrusa for a year, you learn together, you're not friends, you're not a mensch. That's what Chaim Shmulevitch said. I heard in Eretz Yisrael, the Sotom was given power over Eev to do whatever he wants with him. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave him carte blanche, do whatever you want to Eev. Except one thing, don't take away your life, his life. He's got... And Eve had Eve became a legend. It was so bad, it was so powerful, that normally, with ordinary medical laws, Eve would not have survived his suffering. But the Sultan wasn't allowed to take away his life. He had mamash, I can't say kol mini gehenim, because the Ramban says in Sefer Gmul that you saw Eve, kol yumei chayav don't add up to 1 hour of gehenim. That's what the Ramban is, a guzm of what gehenim is. But nevertheless, he had, in our terms, in Olam Hazeh, a Gehenim. He lost everything. He lost his wife, Rachmon Litzlan, and his family, and all his possessions, and his health. He was mamash a sevrochen a mensch, sheva keli. For one thing, he didn't lose. He still had friends. The whole Sefer Eov is based on his chaveim coming to him. So I heard the question, so why didn't the Sotan take away his friends as well? The answer is very simple. He was not allowed to take away his life. And friends are life. If you take away his friends, you haven't got a life. Your chaverim, o chavrusa, as the Gemara says. This is, I think, the essential thing. One has to realize that. You know, when the Baba Barov of Shloima arrived, he lost... It's what he lost was unbelievable. He lost everything in the Muchoma of Shlomo. His father, the Rebbe, and his whole Mishpocha. And not only that, he lost his whole community, his whole world. Physically, he was a Sevach and a Mensch, not spiritually. And he arrived in New York on a Thursday afternoon, and various delegations came to the port to greet the Baba Barov, to invite him to spend Shabbos. The first Shabbos in America with them. And he had nothing. He needed financial support. He had no means of setting up his new, rebuilding his chassidus. And various delegations came with their offers. They'll do this for the Rav and do this. There was one fellow there who represented a camp of young men, a bochur. And he came to the Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, we invite you to our camp. And the Rebbe said, why do you want me to come? He said, Rebbe, we've got 120 young men there who are Tzumeim L'Dvar Hashem. We offer you nothing else except that. He said, I'm coming. And the next day, the Rebbe drove to the camp. In the camp, there was a cook. The cook was an alter Bobova from Dahaim, and he knew the old Bobova Nigunim. And he remembered one of the old Nigunim, the Dveikastik Nigunim of Bobov from the Alter Zeiten, and he taught the whole camp the Nigun. And as the Bobov drove into the entrance to the camp, the whole camp came out to meet him singing that Nigun. And the Bobov was so moved, he didn't wait for the car to stop. He threw the door open, he ran to these Bochum and danced and sang with them this Alter Bobov Nigun. And that Friday night, nobody went to sleep. The whole night was Torah and Hasidus. They were Musameach together with Kedusha Shabbos. One of the boys in that camp was a boy called Moshe. Moshe became a chazan in one of the big shuls in America in the later years. He was a frum fellow, but I would say a modern frum. He was dressed like a modern American, but he was a proper Shomer Torah mitzvahs. And every single Purim, he brought Mishloach Munos to the Bavavarov, this Moshe, the chazan. And the Bavavarov and Purim used to be surrounded by all his close Hasidim, and Moshe used to come in with his Mishloach Munos. As soon as he saw Moshe, he called him next to him, he put his arms around him, and they sang the same Nigun. They sang the first day he arrived in their boys' camp. And the Bavavarov used to take Moshe by his hands and hold him with both hands and say, Moshe, that your boys gave me chiyus. Your boys gave me chiyus to start again. It's the inyan benon lechaveiro, of which is a ghetto of hispatlus, of negation of self. And that's a very powerful thing. And that's an achona. That's an achona for the Yom Adin. And that will get by the fact that we're not Moshe and B'Yitzchom. If we mevatel ourselves, we'll get by that way. You know, Omer Dover B'Shem Omrei is a similar thing. It brings Geula La'olam. Because it's the inyan of not taking credit yourself. It's fascinating that Gedalia Shor brings that 48 times the word Be'er is mentioned in the Torah, a fount of water. 48 Memches Dvarim HaTorah Niknis Behem. Each one is like a fount. There are 48 Nevi'im. Each one has its own Hischadshus in Torah. The 48th Novi is Mordechai. And the 48th Dover Torah Niknisbo is Omer Dover B'Shem Omro, Mordechai fits. Everything stimmt. A person who says something B'Shem Omro is Mevi Geula La'olam. And the reason why, says the Maharal, it's Mevi Geula La'olam, it's very simple. It's Mevi Geula La'olam because you give credit where credit is due, you don't take it for yourself. And that is the way to be a Mevatel. There's a mice of the Rosh Hashiva in Manchester, which is so important. I'm just giving an Eitzah, which is Eitzah's the mice for the Yom Hadin. We're not going to storm the Shemaim. We haven't got sort of that sort of ground-to-air missiles to hit the seventh heaven. But Benadon Lechaveira, we do have a Kveach. And we can be Mevater on our own Ratzonos and be Zoicha to his Skavas Benadon Lechaveira, which is Bittel. And if you're Marve or Midosov, that's a Gewaltig Milo. You know, a fellow received a phone call. I heard this from actually from Shimon Kaplan in Manchester. A fellow receives a phone call from his friend. He said, you know, your daughter's just come out of Sem. I know a lovely bocha. I would suggest this bocha is a good shidduch for your daughter. So thank you very much. I'll look into it. And 6 weeks go by, and the fellow who suggested the shidduch receives a phone call. So the fellow he suggested it to is, I'm so delighted you had a wonderful idea, and Baruch Hashem, the shidduch has happened, and my daughter's a kala to this young man, and tonight we're making l'chaim for mishpocha, but your mama's mishpocha come. He was over the moon, he couldn't get hold of it. The fellow who suggested the shidduch was just the opposite. What? He said, the shidduch's gone through? You didn't ask me to add the shidduch? I was the one, a maschil b'mitzvah, om lo gemar, why didn't you tell me? I'm very upset, I'm very angry with you, I'm not coming tonight, no way am I coming to your l'chaim, I'm bogus. Unreasonable response, but still. What do you do in such a situation? You want to go to the Rosh Hashiva? You tell the Rosh Hashiva the story. The Rosh Hashiva used to act immediately where it was Shaykh. He phones up the Brugger sticker fellow. He says, I hear you've got problems. Yeah, the Rosh Hashiva heard the whole story all over again. He betrayed me. He said, okay, you have a point, but it's Chodesh Elul now. Would you not be Moichalim? He said, no way. Rosh Hashiva said, look, you're a businessman, aren't you? Yeah. Well, you know, I try. You can recognize a good deal, right? Okay. Didn't know what Rosh Hashiva was getting at. Said, so I'll make you a deal. You moichel him b'leiv sholim, and I'll give you an haptocha that every aveira you've done will be forgiven this Rosh Hashanah. Now, if ordinary people would say it, you'd get a lach of Rosh Hashiva said it. The Ish Emes, who never said a word which was not Emes Lamito, you have to take it seriously. He thought for a minute, he said, Rebbe, I can't say no to that. He said, okay, now tell him. He put the other fellow on the phone. So, yeah, I'm moichel you completely. Of course, I'm coming to the Lachaim, Mr. Shem. You should have a lot of simchas. The whole story. The phones were put down, and the fellow turns to Rosh Hashiva. Rosh Hashiva, I'm grateful to you. He had tears in his eyes. How could you promise him? He said, No, I didn't promise him. Rava did. You state in the Gemara, Ma'aver Midosov, is Ma'avirim lo kol avonosov, all his avevas go away. He was angry, and if he was Ma'aver and his Midos, avonosov is moichel all his avevas. It's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? But Marvel Midos, not at all. It's big things involved. You know, we mentioned Rebbe Eliashiv, and similar to that, an Indian of we can learn Midos from Rebbe Eliashiv in a similar vein. Rebbe Eliashiv was a Yadua for his comprehensive knowledge in Shas Poskim. They say the long Tshuvas Habach, which nobody ever began to go through. He used to go through from beginning to end, the huge tour of everything. But one thing he was not considered to be particularly good at was the English language. It wasn't his area. And once he was in America for treatment, and at the end of the treatment, he thanked the doctor in English. So he was a fellow, in fact. Nobody understood it. He thanked the doctor. Afterwards, they told me, what's going on here? They said, yeah. I learned how to say it in order to thank him in English. I said, you could have done it via Shlich. He said, the whole of Chazor HaShatz were Yotzer with about Tefillah. Except one thing, except Modim. Modim not. Modim you've got to say yourselves. You say thank you, you say it yourself. This is what we're talking about. And I'm looking at the clock. Just a few more minutes. One other nekuda, which I think is a big chizuk to us, or should be a big chizuk. There is hashgacha in the world. You know, we say that Yisrael said that the dvarim ruchnim are like the kochvei shamayim, they're very remote from us. But occasionally, the Rebbeinu Shlom makes himself aware even on our, he's made Sisman of Harakim, he actually makes himself known to us in this world. And there are very special times when we see the Ashkocha of the Rabboni Shalom. It's a chizuk to us, we all need that chizuk. There was a Yid who was a Talmud, close Talmud of Moshe Schneider, of Tolly Friedler, his name was, some of you may have known him. A very chosh of a Talmud Chochem, Godel B'Torah. And he was a Rosh Hashiva in America, and eventually, in his last years in Eretz Yisrael, a Rosh Kail. May have known him, yeah? Chosh Atayra Yud. He spoke to his son in Eretz Yisrael, and asked his son to buy two Makomos for himself and his wife on Har Menuchos. And his son thought, Chosh Vatata, the Chaluk of the Rabbonon, or buy in the place of the Rabbonon. This is about 25 years ago. The price was $25,000. It wasn't Bichdashiyah, he didn't have that sort of money. I said, 25 years ago, like what, $75,000, $100,000 now? He didn't have it. He said to his father, what should I do? He said, no, it doesn't matter. He said, you buy anywhere on Har Menuchos. He bought. A few weeks ago, Rav Tolly got a shochein. Somebody was buried next to him, Rav Eliashiv. Mamush next to him. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants to give kovod the Baruch Hashem will give the kavod, and you can see the hashgacha. The Baruch Hashem, his son wanted to be mechaber his father, and his father was royal as there, then he was zeicher to have the god Lador next to him. You see the hashgacha of the Baruch Hashem. And the other incident is the incident which actually I had confirmed, because I mentioned, said this in the shiur in Eretz Yisrael, and somebody confirmed this. There was a Baal Tshuva in America who came from a completely blank family in terms of Gurnish. They knew nothing in Yiddishkeit. And Chabadnik got hold of him and was makar of him, and eventually he became Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, this young man, and he had a chasana. And the chasana, you can imagine, the Chabadnik was makar of him, was full of Islamas. It was great things. It was his protege. He sees the father of the chasana standing there, not taking part in the Rakida, and it was very stark with dancing. The father was not taking part. He goes over to him, sort of takes him by the hand. He says, "Look, such a wonderful thing! Your son is getting married. Let's dance together." To which the father says, "Can't. You can't argue with it. Can't. I'll tell you why." He said, "You know, some weeks ago, when my son became engaged, I asked him what he wants for a chasana present. He said he just wants one thing: that I should have a bris milah and come to my son's chasana as a yid." Okay, I agreed. A few days ago, I had it done, and I haven't recovered yet. I can't dance. So this Chabadnik was so moved, he was very moved anyway. He said, "It's such a wonderful thing, mamash mesiras nefesh for Yiddishkeit. You deserve a prize. I'm going to give you a present. My most precious possession, I've got a dollar which the Rebbe gave me many, many years ago. You can have it." So he took the dollar and said, "I'll tell you a little story. You know, when I was a young boy with my chevah, we were a little bit of, you know, chevah, we weren't exactly the tzaddikim of New York. We heard that the Baba Shabbat gives out dollars, so we thought we'd go along and chaps a few dollars, Dalton. When it was my turn, I stood in front of the Rebbe, he looked at me," this is the father talking, "he said, 'Can't give you a dollar.' I said, 'Why?' 'Because you haven't had a bris milah. But when you have a bris milah, I'll give you a dollar.'" 25 years go by, and he said, "I had the bris milah, and now I'm getting my dollar." Mm-hmm. There's hashgacha in the belt. So that's at least, I would call it, the other side of a coin. It's not an easy coin, and the cloud is no bigger than a man's hand, but one has to know the cloud will eventually cover all of us. So, Mr. Shem, we should be zocher to enjoy the benefits of the cloud and have a ksiva for simitator. Good year.